Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you.
A couple of days ago, and when you have confidence, you can go far.
So when you have that good name, plus this confidence, see, it says to be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Some of us on this line can't even fathom that because we understand the value on this world, on silver and gold, especially gold. So I believe that this verse is telling us that no matter what you have, if you have a bad name or a bad track record, then you're not doing too good. What y'all think about that?
I never think you're on the right track there. Nowadays, names are very key, especially in our world, in our time. Whenever you hear certain names, you automatically, reference people with certain things. Like, say, in the regular world, you think of El Chapo, you think about bad things, you think about things that he did, drug trafficking, you think about stuff like that. When you think about the names, say, in the church, Kirk Franklin, you think about him and his music and everything. So when you think about that, you think about God, you think about everything that he's done, certain songs, and now since Kirk Franklin is becoming more of music mode, he does different things with different artists. So most recently he's done things with rappers, doing great songs with them. Say T-Pain, he's done songs with Kanye West. So now he's, turning over a new leaf and he's trying to, get more people to know about God and, make better music. So him and his style that he has, they use his choir, they use his music, musicians, different stuff like that, the connection that he has to, to promote certain stuff that they have, and also he uses that to influence them in a better way. So using certain names, same way like when we use the name Jesus, you already know what it is. When we use the name God, people already turn to it, and they're like, okay, I know what he's talking about. So names are key, and especially in our industry, being with the church. So certain names that you say, people's minds already clicked, like Adam and Eve in the world. People know about Adam and Eve. Everybody know about Adam and Eve because, the church says that's where it started from, and that's, where we came from. So names are very key, and they stick around for a long time, like bridges.
Amen. I like the way you put that. Any other man on the line that can tell, man?
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I think that a name is very important because, every now and then, like if you go into an event or you're in a certain place and you might ask, one of the first questions you might say is, who's going? And depending upon the list of names that you hear may either influence whether you're going or not going or decide to leave when somebody gets there, because with your name comes your reputation. And one thing about it is once your name is sullied and you have a bad name, it's very hard to turn that around and make your name good again.
Amen. Any other men on the line that can chat, man?
Good morning, fellas. I disagree with everybody. I agree with all, and I just want to just add a quick little note in the names, because everybody the focus on this particular passage is names. Before there were, computers, before it was any of this high-tech media that you can get things around the world quickly, your name stood for everything. And I went through generations and generations and generations. If you had a great name and it just followed you wherever you went. So, so if you was a good carpenter back in the day and your name was, that name followed you through his father and your son and his grandchild and all the way down to the lineage of different people. So your name means a lot. People can have gold and riches. You see a lot of rich people. You see a lot of, these rappers and these athletes, have all these riches and all this other gold and silver and everything they have, but their name is not worth nothing. Without a good name, you won't have people, you won't have people to follow you. And like they say, the name God, the name Jesus, that automatically, you follow that with no question. And that's what a good name is supposed to be. Almost no thought. You know that this is a good person to follow, a great man to lead another man or follow another man and then learn from that man. So that's what I take from it.
Hey, man, everybody had great comments. So if any more men on the line, I can chime in. Now we're going to move forward. All right. Verse 2 says, rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. So I believe that this verse right here is giving hope to the people that they consider poor. And when they say rich, I believe that they are talking about the worldly things. Because if you know God, then you're the richest man on earth. You've accepted Jesus Christ for your Lord and Savior. You rich. You know, so I believe that God is telling us that doesn't matter. There should not be the difference between the two. The only difference between poor and rich is money. So what God is saying is that what this passage is saying is that I made them all. So when people get to jumping on their high horses, or when you, if you're not financially where you want to be, when you look around, you just realize that. And people that look down on you and frown their nose upon you because you don't have this and you don't have that, just know that you can't look at me no type of way, because we all was made by the Lord. And see, what the truth is that some people that are the rich ones that have the money, you still see them jumping off of buildings every day. You still see them committing suicide. They got all this money. And the people that don't have that type of money can't fathom why they want to sit there and jump from buildings, why they sit there and kill themselves, gunshot. Why would they do this? I believe that because they don't have Christ inside of them. See, because when you start to make a little bit of money, see, God goes to the back. That's just real life. When you start doing a little something and you don't stay humble and you don't stay grounded in the word, you'll begin to think that you did all of that by yourself. You'll begin to think that all of this came from you, your works. You didn't have no help. You didn't have nobody. Oftentimes when we watch the Oscars or the BET Awards or something of that nature, it's not a lot of people that's going to be able to say, well, first I'd like to thank God who's ahead of my life. There's not a lot of people. So when we look at this passage, it's saying that the Lord is the maker of them all. So just trust, like the Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him and him make our path straight. What y'all think about that?
I got a
comment on that. What you see here is that when he said the rich and the poor meet together, that means that, you know, there is a common thread to God, and the Lord is the maker of them all. So what we're seeing here is that every man has responsibility to God, whether you're rich or whether you're poor. And so if we understand we have a responsibility to God individually, then that means that we need to make sure we get our house straight in order, because we're responsible to God. And if everyone did that, then our communities would be a whole lot better. But it seems like we are easy to point out everybody else's mistakes instead of looking inward and say, okay, I got a responsibility to God. I'm going to carry my corner. And if everybody carried their corner, if everybody carried their weight, then our communities would be a whole lot better, whether you're rich or whether you're poor. If we're in the body of Christ together, since we're in the body of Christ together, every position is important, whether you're the head, whether you're the foot, whether you're the toenail, or whether you're the nose. Everyone works together for the good of the community, the body, of the family. And so, you know, this proverb of wisdom says there's no excuse for the poor man. There's no excuse for the rich man. We all have a responsibility to God, and your responsibility might be different from mine, but it's still your responsibility.
Amen. Any other comment? All right. We're going to move on to verse 3. Verse 3 says, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. I think this is a matter of the wisdom and the knowledge that is talked about so much in these proverbs, because when you have the wisdom and the knowledge, you know the consequences to your actions. And the wise one says, well, I it's 3 o'clock in the morning and they all hanging out and doing what they want to do. I need to go in the house. I need to make sure I'm in the house because I know that at a certain time, it's nothing but trouble in the streets. At a certain time, things happen that you can get caught in the crossfire. So in order for you to stay away from that crossfire, stay away from jail or stay away from whatever the consequence is that when you see these things, so we get to recognize these things because we have the wisdom and the knowledge stored in us. But God's telling us that the simple, they go into the danger and pay the penalty. So many times in our lives, I know especially as men, when somebody is telling us, look, man, don't go that way because, you know, it's trouble down that way. It's easier path that way. Some of us have, and I'm a witness, some of us have taken the trouble route. So we have to be wise enough and use the knowledge that God is putting inside us. And when we on the first word, the knowledge and the wisdom that we are gaining and put it into use. Because some things that, you know, they say wrong place at wrong time. So when you start to see the danger or you know the trouble that's a line ahead of you, we the wise one or the prudent one, it says it takes refuge. They take refuge because they already know the consequences of what could go on, of our actions. What you men think about that?
I definitely think it's true. In my new job, you know, it's there's certain places in my job that are covered, you know, in red, and we have things that are covered in yellow. You know, yellow is caution, red is danger. So like you're saying about danger, it's like, you know, you see it, you read it, and, you know, certain things I know and certain other people know that when it's a danger sign, you know, you can't cross here, you can't do certain stuff without, you know, letting other people know, having a permit and different stuff like that. So it's like when you read or you see the signs of danger, like you're saying, you know, about going out at night and, you know, nothing good ever happens after a certain time. You know, certain people will tell you that, police officers will tell you that, you know, like during certain, you know, holidays, you know, certain places aren't really good, you know, like Halloween, certain stuff like that, 4th of July, certain places you just can't go. So it's like, you know, sometimes you just got to take the signs and take heed of what you know. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you get that gut feeling. You got to go with that sometimes, you know. That gut feeling is your conscience. Also, it might be God. It probably is God just letting you know that you shouldn't be doing that. So, you know, you got to listen to him and follow the directions.
Amen. Any more men can chime in on situations?
I think from another perspective of that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think from another perspective, you know, we all have been given, well, in most cases, parents, or if not parents, guardians, somebody who's been entrusted to kind of train us up as we grow up. And so, you know, the way I see this is that the wise person heeds those instructions and takes those warnings that the person that poured into their life that prepared you for certain situations or circumstances in your life and said, hey, when this happens, this is probably the best way to deal with this. But a fool disregards everything they've learned, everything they've heard, doesn't want to learn from anybody's experience, successes, or failures, and decides that they're just going to go ahead, you know, blinders on and go into a situation regardless of the dangers that might lie ahead.
Amen, amen. Any more comments? Okay, all right. We will go to verse 4. Verse 4 says, humility is the fear of the Lord. It wages our riches and honor in life. I believe that, you know I can speak as far as my ministry, Jesus is the way. If you go, I know how I go about it. I fast and I pray and certain things that I will not do. I know certain my ministries they're recording on camera saying, well, I'm going to be here, and this, that, and the fourth, come check us out, and this, that, and the other. And a lot of people, when they come up to me at the end of the day, they say, well, you did a good job, and you did it, and you did this. And I always have to remind the people that, It's not me. It's Christ that's inside me. And a lot of people, you know, they like to say, well, you know, I know this person and they're famous and they can do this for you and they can do that for you. And I always end up saying that, well, if God sees that fit, I always believe that he will move in the way that he wants me to move. So I believe that this scripture is telling us that humility is the fear of the Lord. So when you're fearing the Lord, you understand that you're not arrogant, pride does not get in the way, and you allow God to take the front seat. We no longer our will is no longer violent anymore. We move our will to the side and do the will and the work of God. So when you have humility, it also brings blessings to our lives. When you're going through a situation, if you say, well, you know what? Yeah, I know I'm going through. Yeah, I know I'm tired, but I'm going to pray for this sister right here. I'm going to pray for this brother right here. God sees that, and God acknowledges that you are putting your problems and yourself aside, and you're standing in the gap for this person. God blesses that. So I believe that we show humility and be humble in every way. God can use us to the best of our ability or the way that he wants to use us. What y'all think about that?
Humility is the key. When I think of humility, humility is a lack of pride. And God can do more for us and with us when we always constantly keep the focus on him rather than ourselves.
Amen. Any more men that can chime in?
Yeah, I think humility is something that you have to understand it's not a weakness. I think a lot of times people associate being humble with weakness or being meek with weakness. Humility is recognizing one shortcoming and realize that we have to depend on God. Just like you were saying, Minister Jamal, that he is the one in control, and we study the life of Christ. He humbled himself. He became poor. That we might become rich. And it wasn't a thing of him not knowing that he was rich. I think a lot of times with men, we have this thing, we need to let people know how rich we are, how bad we are. And it's a thing of trying to justify ourselves. But if you know who you are in God, in Christ, then you have to understand that God will elevate you. God will show it. You don't have to try to do this on your own. And so we need not to look at humility as a thing of weakness, but as a thing of or position of strength. A lot of times you don't have to say a lot of things, just your presence, just your actions and how you carry yourself will speak volumes. And so men have to be careful because we like to be bad and show, you know, that testosterone and how thorough we are, yeah, you know, and you know that's just how we made up, you know, we made up like, you know, when it gets going, you know, we gonna be bad, but Christ is the creator of the universe, and you know he became poor that we might be rich. Not to say that he couldn't destroy, he couldn't, you know, he can create, he can do anything, but he knows who he is. And that he doesn't come to us as, you know, this overwhelming force that has to prove himself. But he came to be humble, to elevate and lift us up. And we have that mindset that we're humble enough to say, oh, I'm okay with this. I don't have to do this. But let me help my brother. Let me help elevate him or her. Then, you know, that's the humility. That's following the humility of Christ.
Amen. Any other comment? Okay, then we will move on to verse 5. Verse 5 says, in the path of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who preserve their life stay far from them. And I think this speaks back to the wisdom of God and the knowledge that Christ is in control. And so when we understand that and are all right with that, see that's different. See, some things that we understand but we're not okay with. So when we give our life to Christ, we have to be content with what's going on around us, being mindful always that God, He has the last say, and being mindful that because Jesus Christ already died on the cross and rose on the third day for our sins, that we already won. So what we have to do is stay on the right path, stay humble, stay focused, stay committed to the things that God has put in our lives, the assignments that God has given us. Continue to be faithful to our church. Continue to be faithful to the first word and the things that God has shown us and the things that God has put before us. Because it tells us that the wicked, see, it's a price to pay to be wicked. And it says that the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls. These are the things that they have to look forward to. Destruction. All of these things they have to look forward to because this is the life that they're living. But God's telling us for the ones who preserve their life or for the ones that walk with me daily, for the ones that drop everything and just walk with me, these are the things that are in store. You preserve your life and you stay far from them. So in this scripture, I believe God is telling us that He's giving us the warning that the ones that are wicked. See, God is telling us, He's giving us both sides. So He's saying in the path of the wicked are snares and pitfalls. We know some wicked people. And we know some people that every time we call them on the phone, we know they're not doing right by God. But it's always, well, man, this is going on. And I got to do this. And it's always a sad story. But God is telling us for the ones who preserve our lives, see, this walk. See, God always has to give us something, the good and the bad, because, see, in this walk, this is a very hard walk. And this walk, sometimes I'm not going to say sometimes, all the times we have to take the low road, all the times we often have to turn our cheek, often have to turn our back to people that do dirt to us, even though sometimes, I'm just being honest, for me, I know when somebody do dirt to me, I'm ready to do dirt back to them. But when we come down off that emotion and get a chance to, that's why it's important, like I said, it's important to have somebody to walk this walk with you, because then you can call them and get all your frustration, all your anger, all your emotion out. And then that person that you're getting your emotion and your anger out to, they'll be able, after you've done all the venting, all the kicking, screaming, crying that you have done, and now that you're receptive, that person that you are venting to will be able to tell you, man, it's going to be all right. This walk is not an easy walk. But God, He will see our path straight. He will make sure that the ones that are trying to come against us are destroyed. So I believe that this is what the scriptures are saying. What do y'all think about that? Comment.
Yeah, I think you're good, Minister Jamal. We definitely have to look at the things where, you know, if you do the things of God, then you can look forward to being blessed, even though you don't understand it sometimes, even though it doesn't feel good, even though, like you said, if somebody does something to you, you're ready to, you know, take them out. But in the end, if you have the Spirit of God and the wisdom of God, you can look forward to even in difficult times, even in difficult situations, that you can look forward to the blessing of God. And that's one of the difficult things about faith, is that a lot of times the enemy will present something to you that causes your flesh to have a reaction. But spiritually, you have to walk by faith and not by sight and say, if I do this by faith according to God's word and His will, I can look forward to a blessing. Contrast that with those who don't know God, who don't do it to God. They have nothing, no blessing to look forward to. And that's where the enemy will give them temporary comfort or temporary feel good, but long term suffering and pain.
Amen, amen. Any last words or comments? Ran out of time. Good dialogue.
I like that last, that verse 6, where it says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Basically, what it's telling us is that everybody's different. And you have to, when it says there's a way you should go, you got to get to know the people that are around you. You got to get to know them. And then you know how to operate with them. Like, for instance, my kids, I can say certain things to my daughter that will get a certain response, and I can say something to my son that will get a response. So I have to know them, and in our walk with God, we have to understand that everybody doesn't respond to the same stimuli. We have to know the Word of God, and we have to study the Word, and we have to know our people that are around us, so that once they get the Word of God, if I tell one, this is the way God says it, and I tell one, this is the way God said it, but in two different ways, two different stories, the end result is when they get old, they won't depart. And so we have to look for the end result and adjust our approach so that the end result will be the same.
Amen, amen. Any more last words, any comments? All right. We're going to look to the Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to say thank you. Father God, we thank you for everybody on this line. Father God, we thank you for everybody, Father God, that diligently commits themselves to the first word. Father God, we ask you, Father God, to bless everybody on the line, Father God. Keep us, Father God, be in our church services. Father God, bless pastor as we bring forth the word, Father God. Give them a fresh word, Father God, that will prick us at our hearts, Father God. Until, Father God, we get back on the first word, we ask you to be with us. Be with our family, Father God. Be with our loved ones. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, y'all. Until the next time, first word.
All right.